Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is August 6th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening via recording, which, of course, you can do by going to motorvitality.com, where you can listen to tons of the archives and getting some background noise there. Somebody getting a lot of background noise. If you guys want to mute yourselves, if you're not talking, please. But anyway, you can also subscribe to Motor Vitality on Google Podcasts or iHeartRadio or Stitcher or whatever podcast application that you use. A couple announcements, real quick. Really, just one big announcement. We are doing some website maintenance, and there's two parts of that. First off, you'll notice that we have not made any updates, meaning if you're looking at the WQA certification stuff, the live classes or the courses are not quite uploaded yet, and last week's podcast as well as this week's will be delayed in being uploaded as well, because we're migrating our website over to dedicated servers, and they haven't completed the process yet. So the website's still up, I believe, currently, but we're not able to make any updates to it. So I just want to let everybody know that. So you can access everything that was available prior to 2 weeks ago. And as soon as the migration is complete, hopefully you see a lot faster speeds and a lot more reliability on it. And then you'll see all the content that we have from the last 2 weeks up there. Want to start the call off the way I do every week, which is by asking, was there anything anybody learned last week or learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? I know we had a huge storm come through. Do we have anybody along the East Coast that got hammered with the tropical storm? I know a lot of our clients on Long Island, the power was out for quite a while. Okay, well, with that thing, we'll jump right into our topic. Again, if you guys, I'm getting a little bit of background noise, so if you could mute your phones, please, while you're not talking. Hey, Jen. Jen.
Sorry, I was muted.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we should do a group mute and just for that. So I'm getting. It's pretty loud on my end, so.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'm going to do a group mute, and then when you want to speak, if you could please do star six, that would be awesome.
Yep.
And we do want to hear you. We definitely want to hear feedback on this. So hold on 1 second. I'll do that.
All right, so sorry about that, you guys. Sometimes it just can get kind of distracting when you have a lot of, it sounded like somebody had a phone in their shirt pocket or something, or their jacket pocket. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about today was something we talked about a few years ago. It was the last time we really had a discussion, but it came up a couple times this week. That's how it's a lot more common these days to close sales, and in fact sometimes have a ton of, you know, a huge percentage of the conversation post sales appointment via text. In fact, there have been instances where I know that there are very good sales professionals that have actually closed, you know, they've gone out and tested the water at a house where the customer wasn't there, and the entire sales process was done via text. That's something that is definitely a newer phenomenon. Had you asked me 5 years ago if that was something that was ever, you know, going to be possible, I don't know. Texting was something that you did for convenience just really quickly, but it wasn't something that that you did with, you know, strangers or people that you didn't know or customers. It seemed a little more intimate than a phone call or an email. You know, emails were a lot bigger. But I was looking up some of the statistics, and one of the things that they say is that between 35 and 50% of sales goes to the business who follows up first. So let's say you're out there with a you're running an appointment and the customer has had a couple different quotes out there. Whoever follows up first in multiple ways is often going to get the business. So one of the things that I was reading is that a lot of people don't pick up their phone, especially if they don't recognize a number, if they haven't programmed you in, if you're calling from your cell, because of all the spam calls and the robocalls that we tend to get constantly. People don't answer calls if they don't recognize the number. And emails have a lot lower open rates. And if you leave a voicemail, sometimes the voicemails never even get listened to. I was talking to Corey Ringel about, which by the way, Corey, some of you have heard Corey. I'm going to pause for a second on this and say officially and welcome Corey to the MotoVitality team officially. You'll be hearing a lot more from Corey in the future, but Corey is our newest member of the MotoVitality team. And so I'll take just a moment there, but some of you have heard Corey on these calls for quite a while, and we've talked about Corey and I were just talking a couple of days ago about how to leave voicemails, and it was something that is in Tom Freeze's book, Secrets of Question Based Selling, and just how most customers will react to a voicemail. You know, if you go in and you leave a ton of information on that voicemail, then people just delete. But anyway, statistically, about 99% of texts are open usually within 5 seconds of receiving the text. Studies also show that texts lead to over 200% more responses and almost 300% higher yes responses than phone calls. Text can also increase verification rates. And so, as much as 95%, if you're tracking those things, if you have a way to send out text via a tracking system, then you get a lot higher accuracy when it comes to sending text. It's easier and faster to connect with potential customers via text and other forms of communications. In fact, 9 times out of 10, prospects are going to share their cell phone numbers instead of a business or home number. That's something that has definitely changed in the last few years too. Landlines have gone away. In fact, I bet if we looked at the people on this call, and the vast majority of you probably don't even have a landline at all. I haven't had a landline in probably 15 or 16 years. One of the things that's suggested by, as I was kind of reading through and looking to see if this was just a unique phenomenon to something that we did, or if it's pretty common out there, they suggest that as soon as you get a lead, like a lead comes in, appointment set at the office, shoot them a text. Say, hey, looking forward to speaking with you on, tomorrow or this afternoon or whatever. Just shoot them a text so that they have that. They recognize the number and just let them know. This is not uncommon. It sounds kind of strange when you think about it. At least it does to me, but then I'm, coming up to being old, not quite there, but I'm knocking on old's door, especially as compared to a lot of the younger people out there. And it seems a little strange, but when you think about it in context of the way everybody else does business, when I have a doctor's appointment, I get a text confirmation. When the Verizon guy was coming to hook up my Fios, I got a text. Not only did I get a text confirmation of the appointment ahead of time, but I, you know, your Verizon technician has left the office and should be there within 45 minutes. I mean, the communication was phenomenal, and it just came over via text, and I really appreciated that. It wasn't, I think about that in context, had those same communications been via phone, that would have been annoying, the phone constantly going. If it had been an email, I may not have gotten it, because one of the things that is true about this is emails almost get buried the same way voicemails do. You know, I don't think it's that uncommon for people to have multiple email addresses. I know that I have 7 or 8 that I monitor, and if I haven't checked my email in a couple hours, then I look at my phone, which most people check that stuff on their phone, and they, you know, it's not uncommon for me to have 30 or 40 emails, most of which are junk, and most of which rarely ever get open. I go through, select, you know, I'm narrowed down that 40 emails to about 5 or 6 that I know I need to go back and review or read or open or save for later or whatever. More and more in the last probably, you know, year and a half, I have missed responding to emails more than I ever have before. And I've always prided myself on responding to text or, you know, any communication. When somebody reaches out to me, I really try and respond in some way, because I think it sucks to wonder if they got it. But emails can get buried. And there have been times where I, even with the best intentions, you know, taking in consideration other people's feelings about it, I try to respond to emails, and there's been times that I've just simply missed it. And usually it's because maybe the subject looked like it was spam, or I just clicked accidentally and deleted it with the other group of things. But text I almost always see. You know, I open text a lot. *6 to unmute. I'm curious if you guys are finding the same things, and then, you know, and let's have a discussion. Then I wanted to kind of spend the last few minutes of this call talking about some general texting etiquette. But *6, unmute yourselves. Tell me what you guys think. Are you finding that people are responding a lot more with text? What do you do yourself to respond to text, or do you prefer a text, or do you prefer phone calls or emails?
Hey, Kelly, it's Corey.
Hey.
Thanks for welcoming me. Appreciate it. But one of the things I was doing, you know, when I was directly selling, was, I don't know if it came with my phone or if it was an extra app, but I had a professional picture of my business card that looked really nice. I think my phone, the camera automatically recognizes business cards and you know, crops them out, so it looks good. And I was actually sending that to people as well. And I think they really appreciated just having that business card virtually, because they can just save it to their phone and they always have it.
Interesting. I've not seen that feature. That's kind of cool. I'm sure there is an app that does that, but that's kind of interesting.
I think it was the app Cam Scanner is what I use.
Okay. What is it?
Automatically focused. Cam Scanner. So CAM Scanner. And also I used it for, you know, sending over contracts. So you take a picture of your contract just on a table. It automatically crops out and reshapes it, so it looks really, really nice, colorizes it, and turns it into a PDF. Well, then I can just send that away right away. I don't know if Jason is on the call, but Jason kind of showed me that app a while back, and it's a big help. Especially if you don't have DocuSign at your company, it's a huge help.
Okay. Can Scanner. Good to know. Thank you, Corey.
Yeah.
Anybody else? *6 to unmute yourself. What are you doing for text? Are you finding that you're communicating a lot more with your customers via text?
Kelly, I know that I have witnessed that a lot. As a matter of fact, this past weekend, Brian was, him and I were texting back and forth because he had a gentleman, he ran a sales appointment, and the gentleman has a very strong accent that's harder to understand. And not only that, but he had a lot of, he wanted to compare a lot of things. And the thing that I liked about the text messaging, because he was talking with another company, a competitor, and I don't know if he was being misled or he was misunderstanding what the competitor's equipment was, because what he was saying for the price of what they were giving him and, you know, comparing the equipment, there's just no way, you know. So I like the fact that we had a communication that we could go back and look at it, a trail, that we could go back and look at it and say, no, we didn't say that we could do this. This is what we said we could do. But it was like for 2 or 3 hours on Saturday and 2 or 3 hours on Sunday, we were still texting back and forth with him. It was also nice that while Brian was driving yesterday, that he was able to, you know, just shoot him back a voice to me, a voice to text, and just say, you know, I'm driving right now. I will call you in such and such. So that he didn't have to answer the phone while he was driving, and then the gentleman wasn't thinking that he was, you know, ignoring him or anything.
Yeah. You know, in today's world, people expect, it's a fast food world. You know, they expect responses a lot faster. It's funny. They expect it, but they don't always give it back. But, you know, and when they are looking to buy something, when they're ready, they do want that fast response. You know, they've come to expect that. Stacey, did I hear you were going to say something in there?
Yeah. I always text to confirm appointments always. Normally the morning of the appointment. I hadn't really thought about doing it right after it gets booked. Not a bad idea. But I've had people text me. I had a deal 2 months ago where they texted me, "Are you still our rep?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She says, "We want to buy out our rental equipment." We handled everything virtually.
Wow. Yeah.
And she thanked me at the end saying, "Thanks for making this so easy and virtual, so we didn't have to worry about anything."
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, interesting. Anybody else have any comments on that? I wanted to kind of go through a few of these general texting etiquette rules, because I think that it is, most people know them, but I was kind of surprised as I was reading through some of these. But anybody else have any comments about the sales, closing the sales part via the text? So let me just go through some of the rules, the general rules here of texting etiquette. This one goes straight to the what we were just talking about, is that if you don't get a reply right away, relax. It could be that somebody's driving. A lot of people still do not know how or don't have vehicles that have the ability to do text to speech to text in the vehicle. I will tell you that I really try hard not to text and drive sometimes if I'm at a stoplight or something like that. I mean, it should not even be try hard. We should never be texting and driving, because it is distracted driving and it does put other people's lives at risk. So definitely don't text the drive. I will tell you though, I sometimes don't respond, you know, if I have a passenger in the vehicle with me, I don't always respond to text for right away, because I don't want to text and drive, and I don't want my passenger necessarily to hear all of my conversations, you know, to have to interrupt the conversation that I'm having with that person right in front of me. So relax. If you don't get a response right away, it's okay. You know, there could be lots of reasons. They could be in a meeting. Maybe they're in an appointment, or they're it's a text. They're probably paying attention to the person who is right there in front of them. Okay. On the other hand, you should always respond. Try to in a timely manner, but try and remember to respond in some way. Keep the other person's schedule in mind. if you know it, you know, just and what that means is, you know, don't shoot a text at 2 o'clock in the morning, Jen. I say that because there are times that Jen and I, we have done that. You know, sometimes you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you have a thought and you're like, I got to remember to do that. So I'll shoot a text over to Jen and then I'll get a response, like a lucid response or vice versa. It's the weirdest thing, but in general, go ahead.
Can I add to this really quick? Is that thing, this is a feature that I have on my phone that I make the best use of, is you can schedule text messages now.
Yeah.
So if you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning and you're like, oh, you know, I should send this, you know, response, or even when you have time to sit down and schedule those, for first thing in the morning or something like that, you know, hey, just checking to see where you are on your decision making or something like that, schedule it so you don't have to remind yourself later on. So yeah, you can do the scheduling. So I'll schedule
specific.
My 2 o'clock text messages at 8 o'clock at night to call you at 2.
Thanks. That is specific to the different app because I have two phones, and one of them allows me to do that. The other does not. So that might be, you know, the messaging app or the service, but yeah, that if you have that feature, that's definitely a nice one. So that's a good one. All right. And anybody, please jump in on these if you have a comment. Another, don't text a novel. I'm guilty of this a lot, where, you know, you should keep it to one or two sentences. In fact, it's recommended if it takes you more than 20 or 30 seconds to type it out, you probably shouldn't send it. You know, you should. You know, don't type a novel when you're shooting a text there. However, if you have a lot more to say, don't just, unless you know the person or you know what they're doing or whatever, don't call in response without asking, which is so weird, right? Because it used to be, to me, a text was more intimate than a phone call. It was almost more, it felt like more of an invasion than a regular phone call. But nowadays, people would rather text, I think, sometimes than pick up the phone. And so, if you need to explain something in more detail, shoot them a text, say, can I give you a call real quick, to go into more detail. And a lot of times when I've done that before, I'll get a message back that says, in a meeting right now, call me in an hour, or I'll call you in an hour or something like that. Okay. So, you know, be aware that people are texting is more convenient. You can do that while you're sitting in a, you know, in a class, they can respond, but they may not be able to take that phone call at that moment. Okay. So be kind to introverts. If somebody texted you, it means they are not necessarily wanting to talk to you on the phone, or it might mean they're busy or they're relaxing. In general, avoid sarcasm. I don't know how much you'd do this with customers, but especially with customers who don't necessarily know you that well, avoid sarcasm via text. And that's a good rule of thumb with anybody if they don't know you, because things can get very misunderstood. And, you know, you can't read somebody's facial expression or the tone with which they're saying something in a text. And so make sure that they understand what you're saying there, but it's better to avoid it in general. Double check your autocorrect. This is definitely, autocorrect will screw you sometimes, especially when you are doing the speech to text in the car or even just typing it. It's not especially autocorrect. Autocorrect will sometimes, I think, intentionally tries to sabotage relationships, both business and personal. Double and triple and quadruple check. Yes, go ahead, Jen.
I'm going to kind of, yes, please, especially if you're texting me, darn it. double check what you sent, what you're sending. There have been on multiple occasions where there's been, you know, where it says, instead of saying, I do not want this or I do not this, it came up as I do this. And it was like, oh, okay, cool. And so even just one word is, you know, makes a huge difference. But there are so many times I get text messages and I have to reply with English, please, you know, or proofread, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, the response that I get. So, yeah, that's one of my pet peeves, and especially if you're trying to look professional and send a professional text message, make sure it says exactly what you want it to say.
Yeah, this one's not on the list, but I'm going to, as you're talking about that, there's different keyboards. I don't think Bitmojis are appropriate in a business setting, generally. I think I would keep it professional. Even a Bitmoji with a tie on is probably not the most professional thing. But another one is double and triple and quadruple check who you are sending the message to. That has happened to me. I cannot even begin to tell you how many times where, you know, I'm texting back and forth with my daughter, for example. And then I remember Steve Hartman, I did this one time. I sent him back a thing. You know, I thought I was sending it to my daughter that said the moon is almost as beautiful as you. I love you. I can't wait to talk to you later tonight. And I was on my way to meet Steve Hartman, and he texted me back and said, wow, I didn't know you thought this of me. Unfortunately, I thought it was my daughter, but fortunately it was somebody that I knew. But make sure that you are texting the person that you are, that you know who you're texting to. If you're running late, texting is a great way to communicate very quickly. I'm running 5 or 6 minutes late on my way, so shoot them a text. Respond proportionally. If someone does type a novel to you, you know, they break the rule, just responding with a K, like the letter K, may not be as good. So, you know, sometimes you're busy and sometimes that gives them the hint that you can't talk right now. So if that's the case, if somebody is responding with you with short replies, don't type a novel back to them. Take the hint. This is kind of important as well. If you wouldn't talk to them about the issue in real life, don't text it to them. Okay. Meaning, you know, one of the most common ones is don't break up with somebody via text, right? Or something like that. But if you wouldn't talk to them about it, then don't text it. You know, show the respect of that. Don't hashtag. That's not really professional in general. Even if it's a joke, if it is a joke or it's irony, make sure they know it's irony. Avoid using chat speak. Like if somebody has just told you some really bad news, don't send LOL thinking that it means lots of love. It doesn't. That means, you know, it's laugh out loud or you know, so know your abbreviations and try not to use the, you know, it used to be the text speak, you know, when you had to hit the buttons like three times to get the words before you had the actual keyboard there. So you would use the number four for, you know, like if you're saying the word forget, you would write four and then get, or BC because, and you just the letter U when you're saying you. That stuff is, I think it's a lot of people, it's like reading a different language, and with the text, the keyboards now, it's unnecessary. Don't type all in caps because it is like you're shouting at somebody. So, you know, don't text in caps. Use the right texting laughter if you're going to say something, you know, so know what you're, with what we were talking about. This is just not necessarily texting customers, but don't bury your face in the phone when you're hanging out with somebody. This is something that that I do that I have to really watch myself at. So this is one of those do as I say, not as I do type things. But the biggest thing is if you're talking to somebody face to face, especially a customer or one of your coworkers, don't look down at your phone. We do that way too much. We spend way too much time looking at our screens rather than talking to each other face to face. Let's get the value, especially with a customer, but get that value of actually talking to people, to the person facing you. And then we already talked about don't text while driving, but also don't text while walking if you can avoid it. That gets dangerous as well. All right, so that's 9 o'clock. It's 9 o'clock. Any final thoughts or comments on this topic? A little lighter call today, but I thought it was kind of interesting. The topic has come up a few times, but any final comments on it? Okay, then. With that, you guys, everybody have a really safe weekend, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So thanks, everybody.